The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson, and today I'm flying solo. No Josh, no Mo, it's just me, and I'm here to preview AEW's second pay-per-view, Full Gear. Let's jump right into it, but we're not going to jump into AEW first. No. We are going to go to WWE, and we're going to talk about some news that had come out from the Wrestling Observer. The first bit of big news is from Saudi Arabia, and it sounds like WWE paid for the plane that got a certain handful of SmackDown-related talent out of Saudi Arabia. So that lends to believe that maybe they weren't as trapped in Saudi Arabia as led to believe. I don't know. The situation's still very murky, and I think this is going to be a lot of he said, she said. This is what really happened. No, this is what really happened. I think there's some upset talent, and I think that's probably the bigger story from this, is that there is some talent that is very unhappy with WWE right now, and that led to some of the complaining online, and then led to the story the way it went. You look at Seth's reaction on Twitter to Dave Meltzer, who was reporting this, but it wasn't Dave that was reporting it first. There was at least two other sources that were reporting that there were issues in Saudi Arabia. That said, it's one of those things that I think as time goes on, I think we'll have a clearer picture. But I have my doubts as well. I think it's one of those things that we may see a more clear picture on what happened, but we may also just have a lot of hearsay. And that's fine too. As I'm recording this, it is November 8th, and this is almost 6 o'clock Mountain Time. And by the time this podcast is up, SmackDown will have aired, so we can talk about the tag team title change. And we're not getting the Revival versus the Revival versus the Viking Raiders versus Undisputed. The New Day will be taking their spot as they won and took the tag team titles. I feel really bad for the Revival. This is a tag team that, you know, is extremely talented. Very, very great tag team. And I think a triple threat between those three would have been absolute classic. Not saying that the New Day are slouches. Big E and Kofi Kingston are both top talented performers, and I think you're going to get good things from them. I just don't fully buy into it's gonna be good, but I really want the Revival in that spot. But anytime you think things are moving forward with the Revival, it's two steps forward, one step back, because I don't think they put ink to paper for WWE, and I really don't think they will. Randy Orton has signed that 5-year deal, so my pipe dreams of Randy and AEW and wrestling Will Ospreay and Okada and New Japan have just gone up in flames and disappeared, which is a shame, but good on Randy that getting that 5-year deal and probably more or less guaranteeing that he's going to be a lifer and he will get a paycheck from WWE for the rest of his life, or as long as WWE is operational, which, I mean, good on him. If you can take that money, get it. Absolutely get that money while you can. We're going to transition now to NXT versus AEW. The ratings came out, and boy, was it close. It was a nail-biter, but even with the OC on NXT, AEW just edged out NXT in this rating war on Wednesday. AEW garnered 82,000 viewers, which was up from last week. NXT got 8,100,000 viewers, which was a massive upswing for them. There's no surprise that they had an upswing. Let's be honest, they had some key stars for that market in AJ and the Good Brothers. Those are both more indie-friendly wrestlers that would draw you in. Clearly, the build that they did with Adam Cole on Friday and Monday paid off to where the ratings were closer. I don't know. Ratings, you got to look at a lot of things. AEW says reportedly that they're happy, and TNT is reportedly happy. I imagine USA is up with the number, happy with the numbers going up for them. So that's two very big things that matter. And I mean, if they're both stronger on Wednesdays, I think that matters more for wrestling fans, because I think they are two of the better products out in professional wrestling. So seeing those numbers go up is a good thing. Does NXT maintain this, and is this hotshot angle going to keep them going past this? Because I'm talking like next June, July, and August. Where is AEW? Where is NXT? I mean, obviously they've teased the OC versus Undisputed Era. How does Finn work into that? That's going to be very interesting. I think. I just don't have any faith in WWE to tell a long-term story properly, which is a shame because I think there's a ton of potential stories that you can tell. We'll wait and see, but it was cool to see AJ and the Good Brothers on NXT. Now, I think that ends our WWE portion of the podcast. We're going to flip over to AEW. And what better way to flip over to AEW, talk about what happened on Wednesday? They had two incredibly great moments on their show. One being Cody's promo and just the passion and everything that came from it. It was electric. It has gotten high praises online. One Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who we know is okay on the microphone, gave it high praise. I thought it was electric. I thought it was great. And it just shows why Cody is one of the top baby faces in WWE. Not WWE, AEW. It's crazy to think of where Cody Rhodes as a talent is right now. I didn't think he'd be at this spot. I didn't foresee him as the top baby face for AEW when it started. And yet, he gets the biggest reaction. The crowd's firmly behind him. You didn't get the crowds wanting him. You didn't have any of those chants during this promo. It was just an uninterrupted, just 7 to 9 minute great moment for Cody. It's a great moment for AEW. There's so many great lines from that promo that I think that moving forward, I think that it's going to be a shame when Cody goes heel, but he'll also do it really good, and he is absolutely their top babyface. Now the question is, he's now said that if he does not beat Chris Jericho, he can never challenge for the heavyweight title. I find that hard to believe, and never say never in professional wrestling, as we've all learned and know about. I just don't know where this all goes with Cody and Jericho. And speaking of Jericho, Jericho's vignette video was just so perfect. It was a parody of what Cody's promo was. The kiss to Sammy Guevara, the use of Virgil, like, just, man, this was such a great parody. You couldn't help but laugh. Absolutely what you want. These two things are the building blocks for your main event for your second pay-per-view. I think this is absolutely the way to go. I'm all sold on both these guys. I'm ready to go. I will preview who I think will win in this match. But leading into it, these were two very solid vignettes that AEW has put out. And it just shows that they're listening, and I think that's massive moving forward for that company. Shifting gears a little bit, there was one other video that is worth checking out heading into Full Gear. Well, there's two videos worth checking out. Britt Baker's video was spot on perfect. I love that. I love the use of the medical terms for her. I thought that was brilliant little moment to help establish her character that much more. And, you know, she may not be the strongest in-ring promo, having a mic in front of her and speaking to a crowd, but if your talent can get their point across this way, and you're helping protect and shield them and help them grow and mature, because that's the thing with AEW. A lot of this talent, we're going to see the highs and lows. We're going to see some rough stuff from them, but we're also going to see positive stuff from them. And AEW's job is to make sure that they're treated properly and given a chance to get over. And I thought that the promo from Britt got over her match with Bea Priestley, and that's the most important thing heading into a pay-per-view, is get your match over and get it ready to go. The other thing that is a must-see for full before you check out Full Gear is the Countdown show. That had, oh man, that was a UFC-style build. That is something that I could see playing for a UFC card before you watch this UFC, UFC card. It legitimized three of the big matches, and it's just another thing that helps add to the pay-per-view that I think moving forward is very important for AEW to be able to do, is get their shows over and turn them more and more into must-see TV. The pay-per-view model is going to struggle a little bit. We are definitely moved past that pay-per-view model, but until they can figure out what that next step is, this is the best that they've got, and I'm okay with this. I'm excited for the show. This is going to be a fun show. I don't know if this is going to be an amazing blow-the-roof-off show, but I think there's some matches on there that are going to be good enough to help build things forward. Shifting gears a little bit, there's a few little news and notes before we get to the preview. First off, Luchasaurus has revealed that while there's no timetable revealed for him, and it could vary, WrestleZone has the article in front, and according to StarCast 4, which is a media scrum with Luchasaurus, He says he'll be back by January 2020 at the latest. But he also says that he thinks that the positive of this injury was to help elevate Marco Stunt. And I think Marco Stunt has elevated himself. And I think it just shows another side. But I think that babyface pop, when you see the water rumble and you see Luchasaurus come out and make a save for Jungle Express, is going to be big, and I think Luchasaurus is going to be a bigger star for AEW and for what they're moving forward with, and I'm excited for him to return. A little bit of a, let's just say this was an interesting little bit. I'm not sure how to ingest this yet. Kenny Omega, it was reported by Dave Meltzer that he had issues getting into Japan for his DDT. Not much was said. He could have faced a 10-year ban if things had really gone sideways. Fortunately, he didn't. There's a lot of speculation online on what could cause this and where this is coming from. We're not entirely sure where this is all coming from, but Kenny has added another tweet to it saying, "One day I'm going to have a lot of wild stories to tell about my 2019 that a lot of people won't want to believe. But the truth is actually way worse than any rumored and or reported. Until then, one day until AEW Full Gear." Now, I'm going to venture on the side that I don't believe New Japan has the pull to get Kenny banned for 10 years. But anyone that's hoping for an AEW New Japan marriage, I think is going to be waiting a while. It seems like the Bucks and Kenny are very upset with New Japan, and New Japan's upset with them. I think that may skew the story a few different ways. We're going to have to wait and see, and like Kenny said, one day he will talk more about this year. I don't know. It's a shame that it's played out like this. But, I mean, business is business, and I have my doubts New Japan played any role in this recent thing, but, I mean, it's professional wrestling, and a lot of stranger things have happened, so I'm not going to certainly rule it out. Finally, before we get to the show, Cody had a conference call. And there's a few notes that we'll get through. I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is that AEW is talking about, and it seems like they're going to be doing this in the next little bit, they were talking about a mid-card title slash prize of some sort for the guys that are rising up the ranks to go after. I think that's brilliant. I think that's absolutely what you should be doing. That is, that's money right there to have something like that going. We'll see what happens in the next little bit. The next thing that they have released, and they said that they will be updating it every Friday, is an AEW top 5 ranking, which will be on their website. I think that's brilliant. It's sports. It's like UFC. You can check it out, see where you guys rank, see where guys are going for the first little bit. I believe Cody's ranked number 1, if I remember seeing the what they've released, but don't take my word for it. They are planning to do more special shows like Fight for the Fallen or Fighter Fest, which I think is a good way to mix in with the pay-per-views. You do 4 to 5 pay-per-views, you throw in another 2 to 3 specials. I think that's a really good idea. The judges for the main event are supposed to be champion calibers, so we will certainly see that. Regarding TV ratings, AEW is not only looking at the Nelson TV ratings, but they're looking at everything from social media ratings to the Fight TV buys to ITV to however AEW is consumed. I think that's smart, and Cody has said that they're listening to the fans and they're looking for criticism and ways to grow, which I think is another good, smart thing to do. I think you need to have someone to ground you, because there have been things that AEW has done that has not worked. The librarian, the long shows, some of the match pacing, but you see them slowly adapt and change, which I think is all you can ask for as a fan. I think any response that you get from AEW, unless it's worse than what they were originally doing, I think they're in good shape for doing some decent stuff. It's without faults and flaws. I think there are still a few things to work on, but overall, I think they continue to move forward. I won't get a chance to watch it, but I will watch it before Full Gear, and you should watch it as well. They're doing a AEW Dark. The next episode will be out tonight. Unfortunately, I can't see it, but I will be watching it before the pay-per-view tomorrow. And it may hint at a few more things heading into the pay-per-view. And speaking of the pay-per-view, let's run through this thing. So we've got a grand total of 8 matches on the card, potentially more. They said they wanted to tighten up the show runtime, so I think that is important, and that helps kind of give a little bit more of a... You watch it, and it doesn't feel like a marathon. Professional wrestling should never feel like a marathon for a viewer, and that's how some AEW pay-per-views have felt. So if they're going to tighten things up, then I think that's an important thing to do. This is a big show. This is their second one, and I'm very interested to see what the buys are. I don't think they'll be quite as high as they have been in the past, but I still think they'll do a good job. But let's start off with Joey Janela versus Sean Spears. As you see, Sean Spears and Tully Blanchard like to take pliers and put cigarettes out on people's mouths, and Joey Janela has quickly grown into a decently talented individual for AEW. I think he's got a plenty of upside to him. I think this will be a good match. I think Sean ultimately needs the win here. I think that's the way they'll go, but I think Joey Janela has had a good showing, and this is a match that could go either way. We'll ultimately see where it lands, but I'm going to give it the edge to Sean Spears. The next match, and this will be on the pre-show. They only have one match for the pre-show, and there's no comedy. So that's a positive moving forward for the buy-in. I think that's good. That's good. But we got Bea Priestley taking on Britt Baker. Britt Baker had that nice little video promo, talked about the unsafety from Bea. Bea Priestley definitely gave her a nice little boot to the head, and that led to some issues. Ultimately, I think Bea wins here. because I think you need to build up a couple more heels in that division. The women's division is weaker than the men's division and the tag division, but I think this is a work in progress, and we've seen them start to flesh out some of the women that definitely help add to the overall product. But I think B wins here, and we may see something from Brandy and Awesome Kong. That may, Britt may be the target. Allie may be the target. I'm not totally sold on what Brandy is doing, but I could see maybe that play a role. But I think ultimately Brie gets the win. Next up, we got our first tag team title defense. We have the newly crowned SoCal Uncensored Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky defending their titles against the Lucha Bro and Private Party. I mean, straight up, I think it'll be successful title defense, and I think Private Party eats the pin here, which is okay because you're building Private Party up. Lucha Bros are a hot tag team for you, and I think you don't want them to take too many losses, and SoCal Uncensored needs to have a successful title defense. I think all the first-time champions need to have at least a decent title run that helps add to the legitimacy of this title reign. So that's where I kind of land there. I think this will be a fun match. I think we're going to get a lot of flips, and we're going to get a lot of flops, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think I'm going to pick SCU to get the win. Next up on the card, we have got Adam Page versus Pac. These two men have been back and forth. Pac has beaten Adam Page. Hangman has gotten his win back. So these are two men that have gone back and forth. I think Hangman's going to be the only Elite member to win. Spoiler alert, I think he's going to be the only one to get the win, and that will further this longer storyline that they're doing. But I think this will be a good match. It's unfortunate Pac has to take a loss, but I think that's what you're going to do. Or Pac's going to... This is another match that could go either way. Ultimately, I pick Hangman over Pac, but you could go the other way and Pac beats Hangman. Next up on the card is the Young Bucks taking on the Santana and Ortiz, Proud and Powerful, the new tag team versus arguably one of the best tag teams in the world. Santana, Ortiz, Inner Circle are going to get the win, help establish them, and the Bucks are going to be on a bit of a pay-per-view losing streak. Which is okay, because I think that they taking a couple losses only help build you up forward, and I think it helps add legitimacy to the Elite versus the Inner Circle, which I think is what they're building towards. We've got three of the big matches for the card. First one is Riho versus Emi Sakura. Emi Sakura has pinned Riho on Wednesday, so that is the big storyline heading in, is can Riho defeat her in a singles match? Emi Sakura is very, very sound in ring and very solid, so I think this will be a really good match, but I think the rise of Riho continues. She's got a tremendous record. I think she's 6-2 heading into this pay-per-view. And I ultimately think she'll be 7-2 and built towards facing someone like Bea Priestley. Next up is the non-sanctioned lights out match. Jon Moxley, Kenny Omega, the barbed wire bat versus the barbed wire broom. This is going to be great. This is going to be a bloodbath. This is probably going to close the show out because it's lights out. But boy, is it going to be. It's going to be fantastic. I think this is going to see a new side of Kenny Omega, a very gritty and bloody, and it's going to be great. I'm picking Jon Moxley to get the win here. Moxley needs the win way more than Kenny needs, and it's that slow, long build to Kenny getting his redemption arc. But Moxley getting the win here helps elevate him heading forward. Omega, if he beats Moxley, that puts him back in the title picture. I just don't see him in the title picture just yet. But Moxley getting the win here is the smart move, and Moxley building more and more towards being the guy to beat Jericho is the right way to go. Finally, our last match of the night is for the AEW World Title. Chris Jericho defends against Cody. This will be great. I'm not a fan of the judges, and I certainly hope it doesn't go 60 minutes. I don't think either of these guys could do 60. I'm sorry, but I don't see it. I think there'll be some shenanigans. There may be an MJF turn. We know the rumors are that Marty Scurll's contract isn't up until the end of the month, so no villain, unfortunately. But I think I'm going Jericho. He's had a great run as champion, and I just think it's smart to continue that. I think Jericho's absolutely the right guy to keep growing your brand with. And heading into 2020, Chris Jericho as your champion is not a bad thing. He's helping elevate everyone in the inner circle. And I do think ultimately this leads to a feud between Inner Circle and the Elite, which I think is going to appear in a match beyond, because that's what Cody said in his promo. From my understanding, a match beyond is when everyone's in the ring for War Games. We'll see what that means. Obviously, they don't own the rights to War Games, but that was a Dusty creation. So I'm curious to see how they tweak or change things to make it a Cody Rhodes creation or an AEW creation. Ultimately, you look at the card. I think it's a solid card. I think you're seeing some young talent on there. You're gonna get to see more B. Priestley. I think all the big players are on this card. I don't think there's anyone major missing. I think Jake Hagar will get involved. I think Sammy Guevara will be involved in some way. And I think MJF will get involved. You know, AEW's been a fun ride. There have been a few little bumps on the road. But I think overall, this has been a solid show. And I'm really happy with what they've done. So I'm going to enjoy this ride. Thank you for listening to me talk and do this show by myself. These are never easy to do. But I'm sure that Josh and Mo will be back to add to the conversation, as they always do. I'm sure we'll be back to talk more AEW and talk more of where things are going. So until next time, stay tuned to We Talk Podcast. Stay tuned to Stick Boy. Stay tuned to Fresh Take. And stay tuned to One Fall as we follow the wacky, wild world of professional wrestling.
Goodbye! And good night, Ben!